This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is time. He is here, ready to talk to Coach Kerr. Out to the River Islands guest line we go. It's presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. All-star break done, ready to get back to action. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you guys?
We're doing great, good, man. It's good to hear your voice. What golf course were you on when Draymond Green started throwing national TV haymakers all over the place?
Well, I was down in San Diego, and I didn't watch any of it. I didn't hear about all that until a couple days later because I was doing my best to get away from it all. But, all good. Good to be rested and refreshed, and I'm ready to get back at it.
Yeah, what was your favorite? Was it that you're going to win a title? Was it that he's been offered your job? Was it that the NBA was born? Like, which one was your favorite, Steve?
All of the above. Yeah, he's Dre is a he's one of a kind for sure, and he's always going to speak his mind. And he's what I love about him is he means it. He means what he says, and he genuinely believes we can do this, and we need that kind of belief, frankly. And I think this trade for Jimmy has kind of given us a newfound sense of confidence and belief, and I think Draymond is sort of speaking on that and trying to light our fire. So I love it.
Just since we're here, what kind of coach do you think Draymond Green would make?
We're not really going there, are we, fellas?
Well, I mean, he went there, so it feels like we got to go there.
Well, I can tell you this. He is one of the sharpest basketball minds I've ever been around. There's no doubt about that. And he is, he knows the game as well as anybody. It's amazing to watch him play and go through practice, go through games, talk to his teammates, tell me what he's seeing out there. He's a brilliant basketball mind and knows the game as well as anybody I've ever been around.
And to that end, it's been just a brief time with Jimmy Butler, 4 games since he's been on the team. But how has that interaction been between Jimmy Butler, a strong personality, and Draymond Green, coach on the floor?
Oh, it's been great. Those guys are really enjoying playing together and collaborating. And, when they're on the floor together, you can see them working in tandem, especially at the defensive end. And so it's fun as a coach to be able to have a couple guys like that who can really solve a lot of problems for you when you have breakdowns.
Hey, Coach, how did Jonathan Kuminga look at practice the last couple of days, and where does your optimism sit?
He looked good, but he hasn't scrimmaged yet, so he's still a ways off. But it was great to have him back out on the court with the guys, and he's obviously a phenomenal athlete and, keeps himself in great shape. So now it's a matter of getting rhythm and progressing each day and hopefully getting to the point where, he can scrimmage and really put it together for a good stretch of days where he'll get cleared to play.
We found your answer yesterday really interesting on a few levels when you were talking about Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga fitting together on the floor. How big of a puzzle do you consider that?
Well, it's going to be fun to watch them together because, you know, to have two big wings like that who can switch and guard multiple positions and get downhill, get fouled, there's a lot to like about it. And obviously, you know, the concern would be spacing. You know, especially because they've got to play, you know, with a five man. Neither one of them can play five, so they have to be the three and the four together. Which means, you know, we got to figure out what we're doing offensively. You know, we can put Quentin Post out there and space the floor, and that would open up some driving lanes for those two. But you know, we want to put Draymond with them. You know, that's. Our three best, probably, you know, athlete defenders, you know, on the interior, and you can imagine them switching everything and you know, staying in front of people, and that could be great for our defense, but we'd have to make sure we could survive that way offensively in this modern era of 3-point shooting.
And also survive it in terms of longevity, because Draymond playing the five seems to be fairly taxing on his aging body. How much of that comes into the calculus when you're deciding how much to play Draymond at five?
Well, it's a lot easier with 27 games left to commit to Draymond at the five than it is, you know, with a full season ahead of you. So I think now where we are in the season, you know, where we are in the standings, I have no reservations in terms of playing Draymond at the five to start games, and he'll still see time at the four during the game, and so it's not going to be his full 30 minutes playing at the five, but I'm confident that you know, for these last couple of months, he can play plenty of five for us.
Coach Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. To that end, Coach, you're talking about the 27 games left and the urgency. How do you sort of approach the whole load management and back-to-back situation because of that as well?
Well, everything that we decide is a collaboration with our performance team, and it's all going to depend on, you know, from one night to the next, how guys are feeling, and obviously they all want to play, and you know, you saw last week we had the back to back in Dallas and Houston, and you know, that was a tough back to back, given that we didn't start our game in Dallas till 8:45, and by the time we got to Houston it was about 3 a.m. So those guys played both those games and held up well. Obviously, it helped to have the break behind them, but you know, it's a matter of getting through the season in as healthy a manner as possible and navigating what that means.
We just had Bob Fitzgerald on, and he was railing against that back-to-back and how patently unfair it was. And I wonder if you or anybody in the organization has a chance to give input to the league before the schedule comes out as it pertains to, you know, travel, grouping cities, or anything else that comes with the schedule.
Well, the league always sends us the schedule, and they send every team the schedule, you know, before they officially put it out, and they ask us to look at it and offer any feedback, you know, any complaints, and so they're pretty good about that. The problem is that they can't answer to everybody. So I also am not sure if that TV schedule is made, you know, at that time in August, or if that's done a little bit later. My gut is, you know, when we saw this back in August, we didn't see an 8:45 start. So normally a Dallas-Houston back-to-back is just fine. It's a short flight. But I do think there should be a 24-hour rule in place in the league. Right now it's 22 hours. You can play back-to-back games as long as there's 22 hours. I think it should, in between, I think it should be 24. And I don't think the league should allow situations like that.
That's interesting. Yeah, Steve Kerr with us. Coach, have you felt like you have a little bit more of a handle on the rotation? I know it's only been four games with Jimmy, but the roster thins out a little bit. We've talked about that so much. Do you feel like you have a sort of a clearer view of what you're going to be doing night to night?
Well, yeah, at least until JK comes back. But, you know, for the time being, assuming everyone's healthy, I have a decent feel for it. We've obviously gone from, you know, a really deep team to one that's a little more top heavy. You know, making a 4-for-1 trade will do that. So I imagine, you know, guys like BP and Moses will be playing more minutes than before the trade. And we'll try to limit Steph and Draymond and Jimmy's minutes as best we can. But you know, we're more than likely going to lean on, you know, five or six guys rather than 9 or 10 like we were before the trade.
Coach, you know your fans are loving minutes for Moses Moody. We talk about it every single season. So what does JK's return mean for Moses's minutes likely?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I love what Moses is doing. I like his shooting, you know, next to Steph and Draymond and Jimmy. I mean, that he makes a lot of sense in that role. You know, JK and Moses can play together, but we can get them out there together at times. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out once JK gets back.
Have you thought about Jonathan being back in the starting lineup or coming off the bench? Is that something that you've already decided on and a conversation you need to have, or is it kind of still in the wait and see mode?
No, it's in wait and see mode because you don't want to make these decisions before you have to. And so, you know, JK is not going to be back, you know, this week for sure. So whenever he's back, hopefully next week sometime, but we don't know yet. But when that happens, then I'll see who we have available, because somebody else might be hurt, might be out. We've got to make a completely different decision. So there's no point in going down that road right now.
Coach, have you watched any of the Court of Gold documentary?
I have not, but I'm about to watch the Four Nations, and I am fired up. I'm not even a hockey guy, but I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah, this is pretty good. But I tell you what, I don't know if you know this. People are really buzzing about a few of the different angles with the Court of Gold thing. Dibs and I have started watching it, at least. But first and foremost, what was it like to have just those cameras and whatnot following you around through that experience?
Well, they did a great job. You know, USA Basketball, you know, came to me when we got to Las Vegas and, you know, explained about this documentary and that there were going to be a group of teams with cameras following them around. And look, if you're on these teams, you want documentation. You know, you want to be able to show this to your family years later and look back on it years later. And so I think we were all very, very happy with you know, giving these guys access, because we knew they were going to turn it into something special. And they did a really good job of kind of remaining anonymous, you know, hanging out in the back of the room and not bothering anybody. And you get used to it pretty quickly when you're going through that.
Yeah, one thing I saw in episode one was you coaching up Anthony Edwards and praising him for how physical he is and how he should get in there and he should be a better rebounder. And it made me wonder how it would be for you to go in there and coach all these other superstars and try to coach them up, not necessarily hard, but you're telling some of the best professional basketball players right in the world what they need to do better. Was that a challenge for you?
No, I think the thing that's great about USA Basketball is that there's an automatic respect amongst the group, because you've got a group of people who have achieved an awful lot. You got the greatest players on earth. You got a great coaching staff, guys who are respected around the league. Spo and Ty Lue are just amazing. Mark Few, you know, the player, guys like Anthony Edwards, you know, they know that I've coached in the finals and, you know, been at the top of the NBA, both as a player and a coach. And then, so they respect that. And I think it's a really cool process, because it's 6 weeks and you're kind of brand new to each other. But you also don't have to go through the marathon of 9 months where there's all kinds of stuff that happens and, you know, potential drama and just ups and downs. 6 weeks is quick. And so it's kind of a honeymoon period, and then it's over. And so there's an inherent respect, but also an ease to it, because it's this is almost a summer, you know, summer project, and you're just together, and it's fun and it's exciting, and then before you know it, it ends. So it's everyone really embraces it. Every single person who's there, players, coaches, we all embrace it, and that makes it really easy to work together.
Speaking of embrace, there's a moment that everyone is seeing on social media right now, which is you embracing Steph Curry after that gold medal shot. And I want to play for everybody what that sounded like. This is from Netflix. This is you talking to Steph right after winning the gold.
I'm so f***ing lucky to be a part of your life. Holy s***. You are amazing, Coach.
Let it bring it out of
me. Finest human being I've ever met in my life, and I mean that.
The finest human being I've ever met in my life. Can you take us through that moment when the two of you got to each other?
Well, it's pretty special to see him have that moment, 2 years after winning his last championship. He was dying to be back in the mix again. And for him to have that moment in front of the world, amongst the greatest players on earth, and for him to stand out and make those four threes in the last 2 minutes, it was just vintage Steph. I mean, the way he rises to the occasion, it never ceases to amaze me, even though I see it over and over again. But my comments were real. I mean, I think he's the finest human being I've ever been around. I just don't think there's ever been this combination of talent and humility and perspective and awareness. And it's just this incredible mixture that makes Steph who he is, that I think attracts, you know, all sports fans to him. They see these qualities, and those things don't often come together, you know, to have that kind of swagger on the floor and be that humble, genuinely humble. It's incredible. And what Steph has done with his life to impact others, being aware of his power and yet using it in such a beautiful, authentic, humble way to help others. He's remarkable. So, yeah, I meant every word I said, to him after that game.
Yeah, including the curse words, which I didn't know that you had that much profanity in your game, Coach.
Probably too much. I hope my mom doesn't have Netflix.
Yeah, boy. I mean, the emotion was real. And just thinking about the golden dagger shot itself, and you're right, he hit the four threes. And Mark and I were talking earlier in the week, and I actually went through the final 6 minutes of that game, and that thing was slipping away now. A couple of turnovers and a foul and no answer for Yabusele. But the golden dagger shot, Coach, is that the greatest shot in the history of basketball, or is that hyperbole?
Well, it's up there. I mean, you know, the fact is, I think we were up six when he made the last one. So, it was a dagger, but it wasn't like a buzzer beater. But, you know, I think if you're gonna talk about the greatest shots of all time, I think they have to be buzzer beaters that win a game, not advance a lead from 6-9. So I wouldn't put it there, but it is amongst the greatest shots I've ever seen.
So maybe you in the NBA Finals with Chicago, better than Steph Curry in the Olympics. I'll say it.
Let's not get carried away. I think the best shot I've ever seen, honestly, it's Michael Jordan. I was not there, but it was a year or two before I got to Cleveland. When he hit the shot that beat the Cavs over Craig Elo, series on the line, down one. I think that was the greatest shot I've ever seen.
We will ask, though, how you compare winning a gold medal to winning an NBA championship.
Yeah, it's a great question. All that stuff is amazing. I mean, it's hard to compare. It's just that they're winning a title. Whether it's an NBA championship or a gold medal, there's just no feeling like it. It's just a different experience, though. The Olympics and FIBA are very different than the NBA. And So it's I don't know. It's just different. I wouldn't want to compare them, actually.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a tough comparison where, like you said, 6 weeks together as opposed to the NBA run, which is a two-month grind from April to June just to try to make it happen. So you come out of the break, and everyone should be fairly well rested. How do you get all back together? And I know you've had a couple practices, but how do you gear up for this final push, which hopefully will lead to an elongated April, May, and June?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. We had an optional practice last night for the guys who were back in town, but I wanted the older guys, especially Steph and Draymond and Moses, the guys who were, who participated in the weekend here in San Francisco to be able to get away a little bit. So the whole team practiced this morning, typical post-All-Star break practice, very ragged, just like everyone that I've ever been associated with as a player and a coach. And then you get back to work. So we're heading to Sacramento tonight and shoot around tomorrow, and we'll be ready to roll tomorrow night.
Speaking of All-Star weekend, you have a thought. Everybody's weighing in on what they could do, should do, did do, all of that stuff. What would you like to see All-Star weekend do?
I think I'd like to see USA versus the world. And, like I said, I'm watching this hockey game tonight, the Four Nations game, and you can see how much it matters to the players involved. And maybe, just maybe, if we did USA versus the world at the All-Star game, players would start playing hard again. I think back in the day, the All-Star game was more entertaining because there was actual competition. You know, guys, I mean, it wasn't game seven of the finals intensity, but you could tell it mattered and guys played. And the problem for the last 15 years or so is that, just nobody really wants to try. And so maybe if they did USA versus the world, maybe guys would compete. And that's ultimately what people want to see. They want to see competition.
Love it. Love it. Great stuff. All right, Coach, here we go. Kings tomorrow night, and De'Aaron Fox isn't on the team anymore, so this one should be easy.
Yeah, sure. We know we don't want our hands full, and they're still a damn good team. They beat us, about 3 weeks ago where we had a 20-point lead or 18-point lead, and they came back and got us, so we know what we have to do. We got to take care of the ball, and we can't turn it over and let them get out in transition.
Well, Coach, enjoy the hockey. Your dog's ready for it too. And safe trip up to Sacramento. And thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs.
There they go. Steve and dog.
Steve together. And dog. Yes. Yeah, I think the dog is going to get thrown out into the backyard, actually.
Yeah.
Steve coaches his dog the same way he coaches Anthony Edwards.
Which was tough.
He's straight to the point.
Sorry about my dog. Yeah. Hey, cut it out.
Exactly. See?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch more of it.
Ant, with you're not rebounding, cut it out.
Right. Okay. I mean, with that body and that strength, you should be a good rebounder. Why don't you get in there and start rebounding?
Why don't you rebound?
And I think you'll like, and for those people who haven't seen it, as you get into it, you get to see behind the scenes of other countries as well. It's not just a U.S.-centric documentary. You get to get a look at the French team and the Serbian team and the Canadian team, playing big roles.
Yeah, do you want to hear a little run of this? This is from Netflix. And this is basically the package that they put around Steph Curry hitting the three that you referenced to him, the dagger three. Yes, you're already up six, but it was a Curry flurry. And so the voices that you'll hear in there are of Curry, Steve Kerr, and Nick Batum, who was a part of the French team that Team USA beat. Check it out.
So I knew time and score, like we wanted to kind of run it down as much as possible. And so I was on the wing, and I saw a double team coming. Naturally, I just took a dribble and threw it to KD. I thought he was going to swing it to LeBron because LeBron was open on the wing. KD threw it back to me. And once he threw it back to me, that just unlocked muscle memory at that point where it's, all right.
I just remember he got the ball and Fournier, like we tried to double team. He just went left. The behind the back stuff, I was like, you can't block that shot, because if it came from down low to just launch it, like almost fading, is like 5-6 feet from behind the line. So it's just one of those moments though.
To me, it is a crazy shot and the footwork looks difficult, but I've done it so many times that once I gave a little jab and got to my right, as long as it didn't get blocked, I felt like, you know, I was gonna make it. I had no choice but to make it, let's put it that way.
When it went in, the reaction of the crowd, of our bench, of France's team, this is one of the greatest moments in basketball history.
As a player, it's tough, but sometimes you have to respect, like, that was insane though. 99.99999% of the player in the world would have missed that shot. Only one guy could have made it. Him.
Yes, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be a part of your life. Holy you are amazing, Coach. Finest human being I've ever met in my life, and I mean that in every way.
All right, there it is. Again, that's from Court of Gold on Netflix. We've started checking it out. If you just listen to that, I bet you're going to start checking it out. But that's really, of all the clips that I've seen, that's the one that's kind of getting people the most, is when this whole thing is over, there's an embrace at midcourt between Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, and that's essentially his quote. I am so bleeping lucky to be a part of your life. And then he says, holy bleep.
Yep.
And he says, you're the finest human being I have ever met in my life, and I mean that. And as much as we all know about Steph Curry and whatever we feel about him, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, like, oh, Mr. Perfection, there's just no blemishes on his resume, that to me might be one of the most powerful moments in that sort of story, in that category, is Steve Kerr, who had a pretty good damn resume himself. Like, and all the people he's come across, he's just so overwhelmed with the idea that, dude, like, you're the finest human being I've ever met in my entire life. That's a very big statement.
It's a huge statement. He's met some very fine people in his life. Yeah. I don't have the list of people he's met, but I know that he's rubbed elbows with world leaders and humanitarians and other great figures in our 21st century world. And so to say that about Steph and then mean it, and the answer he gave us when we asked Steve about that earlier in the interview is absolutely spot on, where Steph has this immense power as a basketball player, as a Bay Area figure, as a humanitarian, all these things that he has, and he uses it for good. And he doesn't really very often kind of rub people's noses in it. He just goes about doing what he wants to do. He does a lot of things for a lot of people, including what he does for Oakland, which touches me maybe the most, because the Warriors aren't in Oakland anymore, but the team left the city, but he never left the city. And he and Aisha started, they didn't start the camp, but they took over the summer camp in Oakland Parks and Recs and made it more affordable and made it more of a widespread thing for kids in Oakland to be able to do. And he goes back during the All-Star break to Oakland, and you know, he builds courts and he build schools and all the rest of it. And the fact that he does a lot of that still in Oakland is just another piece of it for me.
888-957-957. We got a half hour to hang out. If you want to weigh in on what stood out to you from Steve Kerr as we get ready for this, what stood out to you? I'll give you a couple of things. First of all, his answer there with regard to the Court of Gold, the experience in the Olympics, his answer about the All-Star game. He's on Team USA versus the world. I think I am too. There are problems with it. And it's funny, earlier today, Chris Broussard on the show sort of addressed that with the idea of there's too many American players deserving of an All-Star nod that would get left off if you did whittle this down to 12 American players and 12 foreign-born players. So you'd have to figure that out. But in a concept of the game itself, I think there's some merit there. I know that you liked the one-on-one thing, but if you really want to talk about just a game, like the other problem with the one-on-one thing is you're not even just asking guys to try. Apparently, in a tournament of at least 24 players, like you're asking somebody to play like 12 different one-on-one games.
Not that many.
Or whatever. Whatever. Like, you're going
to
win.
The point is, you're asking somebody to try. And you're asking somebody to play one-on-one and try, and they don't want to do that. Now, USA against the world, would that get them to try? It might, and I think Chris Broussard is right about the world. The world team, they would try. It's partly because of, I think, what they do. And it's a different ethos. It's a different culture. And I think the world team would come out and want a piece of Team USA.
Agreed.
And would Team USA even bother to show up? Like LeBron, at 41 next year, he'll still be an all-star, but would he play? And would all these other all-stars play? And you wonder what the USA team might be. And, you know, they don't want to go out there and get embarrassed. And if the world is trying, then Team USA would kind of have to try, or they'd get boat raced.
Right, right. They may get boat raced even if they're trying.
They might.
They might. But I'm with you. Like, you sort of get pulled to this thing. I think it's like your observation with regard to the round of the semifinals this year when Steph's team was playing the Rising Stars, and the Rising Stars were out there like, we're trying. Because why not?
Yeah.
We're the Rising Stars. Like, we want it. And it made those other guys, at least for a brief period.
Yeah, until they got up 6 or 8.
Yeah, like, it made them really try. And that did have probably the best look of the weekend. So, yeah, if the international players are going to try, then the American players, they're going to be forced to try. Because nobody wants to get embarrassed. Nobody wants to get these are
and that's why the Major League Baseball All-Star Game works, because a pitcher doesn't want to soft toss one 74 miles an hour and have somebody hit it 500 feet, and the batter doesn't want to just have somebody throwing 100 and get up there and get clowned.
Yeah, exactly.
They try.
The other thing that stood out to me, go back to the beginning of the conversation, and I want to know what you made of his answers about Draymond Green. I know this stuff is all playful, and he already answered yesterday at length the whole part about Draymond saying that we're gonna win the championship, and Steve's like, good. Like, set the table that way. Now I'm going to hold you all accountable. I like our confidence. That's all good. when we brought up the idea of the coaching thing, Steve went there, but he didn't really want to go there. And I'm very curious about this dynamic where Draymond Green has twice now talked about the fact that the job has at least been, whether it's offered or insinuated or discussed or whatever, and Steve said he would make a great coach. He knows a lot about the game, but he did not want to go to that one as much.
What's he going to say?
I mean, I don't know.
He's going to say either no, he's not going to be a good coach, or yeah, he'll be a good coach. And
no, the idea that he's actually like that, this has been discussed by the Golden State Warriors.
Well, he wouldn't be privy to those conversations unless he was. Like,
I actually would think that he would. I mean, I think that, like, do you think that Joe Lacob and Steve Kerr have had a conversation about Steve's departure?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, right?
And
so that would be part of this.
And Joe says, yeah, Steve, I've offered the job to Draymond when you leave. And Steve goes, yeah, Joe, it's a good one. Honestly, if we want to, like, take a step back from the conversation.
I don't think that's how he would react. Well, I really don't.
I don't think that, for me, I cannot imagine Draymond Green going from being a player on the Warriors to coaching the Warriors. That, to me, is so far-fetched so as to be nonsensical. Now, did Joe Lacob offer him the job?
But why?
Maybe.
Why is it?
I don't think that Draymond Green has the demeanor. I don't think that he has the desire to really put in the work to be an NBA coach.
Okay.
That is not an easy thing. And do the media. And, you know, Steve, yesterday, you had a practice, and you had to do media. And you got to, today, you got Willard and Dibbs, and you're going to get on a bus, and you're going to go to Sacramento, and you got 82 games. And you can't really load manage. So just the schedule itself and the commitment, I don't see him wanting to go from 15 or 16 years on the court, boom, right into it, I'm the head coach.
You may be right. You may be right about that. However, let me also say this. You want to know one thing I've really, really, like, firmly noticed through the years? The perception of Draymond Green inside that organization is way different than the perception of Draymond Green outside the organization. I notice it over and over. It happens almost daily, certainly weekly, where people who actually, and I get it. Maybe Jordan Poole might hold the same sort of perception of Draymond that the outside world does. But inside that organization, they see him as whip smart. They see him as a leader. They see him as a Hall of Fame level basketball player. They still see him as vital to what they are currently doing. They are paying him as such. Outside the organization, I hear this all the time. Guy's out of control. He's overpaid. Should have moved on by now. And the idea of handing him the reins to anything, why would we? He's immature.
Like, yeah, I didn't say any of that.
No, you didn't. I didn't say you.
Yeah.
But outside the organization, I hear things like that all the time. Inside the organization, never. Never. And it might sort of shape why they behave the way they do. Because a lot of people believe they've had his back way too much.
Right. Well, I mean, that's not up to me to really decide. It's up to them to make their own decisions. I think when they didn't suspend him after he punched his teammate, I said it then and I continue to believe it. I thought that was a mistake. I thought it set in events in a certain course that ultimately Jordan Poole was not the same player. Whatever happened, and I felt like they should have been a little bit harder on him, but it was ring night, and they chose what they wanted to do, and it's their organization. They get to do that. And if they want to give Draymond Green the coaching job when he retires, they're allowed to. I don't personally think that he is cut out to be a coach right away. J.J. Redick, he retired, and it took 3 years of him not playing to go back and be a coach, a first-time coach. I don't know how many players have gone from long career right to being a head coach of a team. I'm trying to remember.
It's starting to happen a little bit more often.
I'm talking immediately.
Yeah, Steve Nash was pretty damn close. Steve Nash was pretty close. Jason Kidd was pretty close. Again, I'm not saying it was the next day.
Yeah.
And neither would this be. And by the way, I'm not sitting here trying to have a debate over whether Draymond would be a great coach. I'm observing that no matter how controversial he gets, the organization doesn't seem to feel about him the things that the outside world feels about him. They just don't.
Well, they've never shown that they feel that way. You're right. I mean, and that's...
Like, why would they even have this conversation, which they clearly have? Why would Joe Lacob do that? I don't know one fan who would consider that kind of a role for Draymond Green. Why would Joe? He clearly has.
Right. I mean, he's offered him the job, yeah, reportedly.
Or at least discussed it with him.
Yeah.
At least they batted it around. Why would that be?
Because they know him in ways that we never will. And that is something that you just laid out and what the organization sees him as. A lot of fans also see him as that, but we also have perceptions that probably aren't what the real Draymond is, because they travel with him, they see him at practice, they see him in hotel rooms and meeting rooms and all the rest of it. So, of course, they're going to know him better. And if they see him in a way different than how the fans see him, that's great, and they should, because he's their employee.
Right. No, I get that, but it's not... I don't know if it's just as simple as, like, that they have to. I don't think they have to view him that way.
No, but they do, because they've been around him more.
I guess what I'm wondering is if our perception of Draymond Green is off. Like, I mean,
Well, it's our perception, so it can't be wrong. I mean, I can think and perceive him in the way that I want to perceive him.
You can have any opinion you want, right, but a perception can absolutely be off. Like, I know perception is reality to a lot of people, but at the same time, like, we can only see certain sides of this, and obviously those who know him better seem to like him better, for the most part. Like truly.
Those people in his organization where he's won 4 championships.
Yeah.
So I would argue that their opinions are colored by the fact that they've had tremendous success with him. And as a fan, I have not reaped any of those tangible benefits of having my organization now be worth $8 billion, for example.
You haven't? As a fan, you've gotten to watch 4 championships.
Yes,
that doesn't count?
It counts, but as far as being an employer or being Joe Lacob, Joe Lacob has, thanks to Steph Curry and that whole group, he's had his valuation go up more than 10 times, 20 times. His investment has gone up 20 times. So he's going to feel a certain way about all those guys, in part because of that reality.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think it's fair to at least throw some curiosity at the idea that maybe there are some redeeming qualities that we just don't get. I think that's probable.
I think that's probable with anybody. And there's also some, I would say, qualities that aren't so redeeming that we don't know about. And that goes for all these guys.
Jason Kidd,
I'm sorry, real quick. Great call on Jason Kidd. He went from player to coach the very next year.
Really?
Yep.
Was it that quick?
I couldn't remember
if it was that quick.
He played for the Knicks, and then the very next year he was the coach of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He's been coaching ever since.
And what about Steve Nash? How long was that?
I'll look that one up. Okay. But the one about Kidd, I was like, that sounds pretty good. And he played like 76 games, and then the very next year, bang,
boom,
head coach.
Yeah, Chilton Auto Body, our sponsor. Thanks very much. Also, Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is on. We've been talking about it. It's you and three guests, so a party of four with travel and accommodations to Vegas, plus you get $20,000. $20,000. That's it. There's no hook there. And you get to stay at Circa Resort and Casino, which is the premium sports viewing destination in Vegas. Visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Ultimate viewing experience, first two rounds of the College Hoops Championship. And to win, it's easy. You download the free Odyssey app, you log in, you listen for a minimum of an hour each day, and that becomes your daily entry. It is that simple. So download the Odyssey app now. You might be headed to Vegas in March with $20,000. 888-957-9570. Our number. More coming up on the Dubs with Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a great question.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 408, I see you. Text message, always my favorite. Whenever you get a Y-O-U-R, when it's supposed to be a Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, in my experience,
okay. When
you get one of those, it's always a criticism. Always. Willard, you're way off on Draymond. That's funny. I mean, I literally think that this is one of those opinions. We all get our opinions, but I don't even know how I can be, because it wasn't even really an opinion. It was an observation, and it's a factual observation. The Warrior organization has Draymond's back more than the fans do. And the reason it's a factual observation is you could see the evidence everywhere. You can literally see it everywhere. Fans will be like, I'm so done with this dude. And the Warriors are like, how about $100 million?
Right.
So you can tell me I'm wrong, but it's written everywhere. Fans are like, I've had it up to here with this guy. And the Warriors are like, I think we should make him our head coach.
Well, that's his words. We haven't heard that from anyone else.
Come on, man.
Have we heard that from anyone else?
No one else would say that. He has said it now twice.
Right.
I have zero doubt that it's been discussed, at least.
I have zero doubt that it's been discussed as well.
Doubt.
Until it happens, though, I will continue to hold out hope that it never happens.
And that's fine.
Because I don't think that he would be a good head coach.
Which is totally fair. That's totally
being a
fair.
Head coach is about more than just being really, really smart and knowing basketball, which he does.
I agree with you.
It's about uplifting younger players. It's about travel and media and all of the rest of it. And I just don't think that what he is best at is well suited to being a head coach of an NBA team. That's my opinion.
Yep. I'm totally with it. I'm totally with it. But I think the Warriors just see him differently than we do.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, all you have to do is look at the evidence, and he punched a teammate, no suspension. He called Kevin Durant the B word, got suspended for a game. He, you know, asked for an extension and reportedly went to dinner with the owner, and he got $100 million. He got
exactly.
4 years and $100 million. Yeah. Meanwhile, Clay got lowballed and sent out of town.
Exactly.
So all you have to do is look at actions as opposed to words in an organization.
Or even if you want to listen to words, those are there too. I mean, you were here all last year. We were here doing this with Steve Kerr every day. What did he do? Every week. We literally cannot function without Draymond Green. Do we want to win? Is that what we're doing here? Because if that's what we're doing here, we have to have Draymond Green. And fans everywhere, not all, I know that some of you are still in Draymond's corner, but a lot of people are like, kind of.
It just wears you out.
I think I've kind of had it up to here.
Well, this year, not so much. This year's been, it's been great. You know, I don't think that he's been suspended at all.
He definitely has not.
And he's only been ejected maybe once.
Yeah, you get some T's in there.
Yeah. I don't even know if he leads the league in T's, which
I have no
idea.
Look
it up.
Look that up.
That's something that he's got to be better about. You got to lead the league.
You got to be Draymond. Be yourself. Be authentic, for crying out loud. Speaking of authentic, let's go to Kitty on the Bay Bridge, because I know this woman and she is nothing if not authentic. Kitty, you found us. You found Willard and Dibs. It only took 3.5 years.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great to hear your voices.
It's great to hear yours, Kitty. What's going on tonight?
Well, first of all, I want to say it was such a delight seeing you and your gorgeous fiancé at Splash, okay?
Yep, and then say hi to Lucas, too, because he can hear you, and he was there, too.
Hi, Lucas. I haven't met you, though. I'm going to have to meet you.
He obviously made quite an impression on Kitty. Nice job, Lucas.
Oh, wait. Were you standing next to them?
Come on, Lucas.
I don't want to answer that.
Speak for yourself.
It might be the most disrespectful thing anybody's ever said to me, Kitty.
It's
Lucas,
all good.
I posted Kitty, your picture.
Yeah, it's okay. Exactly right. That's the yes. That sparkling looking human next to me and the lovely Christy. That was Lucas.
Hey, Lucas, I posted your picture on Instagram. So what more do you want?
There you go.
That's a good point.
Yeah, what are you asking for, Lucas?
I got to start following you. Hey, I don't want to say anything about the Warriors, okay?
We're
That's not going to talk Warriors. I have one quick question for you guys, because I don't want to tell you who I want for coaches next year. I'll call another time.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have one quick question, because I know you guys are going off here. You ready?
Ready.
What do you think of robots behind home plate at spring training?
Well, first of all, I have no problem with them at spring training because it's spring training. But I also think, Kitty, like the first word that comes to mind when you bring that up is inevitable. I think we're heading there. I just think it's a matter of time. I think that's the way the world moves now. We have too hard of a time watching calls get made in sports that we can see are wrong.
Well, which leads me to the next thing, and Mark, that's why I love you, and I know it's the end of your show. And Lucas, too. Okay, guys, what's going on with the Bills-Chiefs game and the refs? Are they really on suspension for how they called that game?
Good, Willard. I'll let you.
No, this is your turn. Kitty, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Please, please call again. Kitty on the Bay Bridge had a question for Lucas. Go ahead.
I don't believe they're on suspension, no.
Why not? I mean, listen.
That was the question, right?
Well, but she's bringing up the fact that in that game we all came in and we were furious. The whole world was furious at the officiating.
Yeah.
So?
I don't know where you want me to go with this.
All right. Well, Dibs, what do you think of the robots at spring training?
There's also been another football game after that.
Yes, there has. Yeah.
Like a month. Sorry, Dibs.
No, I'm all for it. Yeah. Robots. Let's bring in the robots. And what I do like is I believe that each strike zone is going to be tailor-made for the batter. So each batter will have their strike zone inserted into the robot. So when each batter comes up, their strike zone will actually be the one that's populated by the robot instead of just like a generic, this is the zone. So Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve, for example, will have
different sized zones,
as they should.
The good thing that I like about it also, and again, we haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to sit here and vote for it yet. We haven't fully seen it yet, but my perception based on them doing this in the minor leagues in recent years, one thing that frustrates people the most about replay is how long it takes. And it's not because, oh, we need to move through the game quicker or whatever. I just think there's too many times where you've got an obvious call and it still takes 2.5 minutes. It's like if the guy's out, he's out. Like, let's go. His foot was not on the base yet. He's out. Let's move. Yeah. Come on. The ball strikes thing is very quick. It's very quick because it's so fact-based. It's just like tennis.
Yeah.
With the Cyclops or whatever that thing
Hawkeye.
Is. Hawkeye now. It used to be Cyclops. But yeah.
Yeah, Cyclops was the one on the service line.
Right. So like the ball either hit the line or it didn't. It's the same thing in baseball. Batter taps the head. You look up to the booth. They look at a camera. Was the ball in the box or out of the box? Right back to you.
Yeah. Much faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, baseball's almost gotten to be too fast for my liking. You know, games used to have a certain rhythm, and now they're, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes, and let's rush, 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 and get out of here.
Somebody is saying on the text line that there was actual an article on Facebook that was not real news that was suggesting that the refs in the Bills-Chiefs game were suspended.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't think they were suspended. They were just outcast.
Good week. I'm glad we could clear that up for Kitty.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, everybody. You know what's coming up on the game is more of Grandy, and that's called The Best of the Game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. What do you got coming up there, Grandy?
We're going to hear from Coach Kerr, because we just heard from him at 5. We're going to run it back at 6.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
In full?
Essentially, yeah.
Couple questions you didn't like.
I don't know, maybe like, you know, the pleasantries at the beginning and the end.
Clean it up a little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. There it is. Steve Kerr, if you missed any portion of it, Grandy is going to have that for you coming up here in mere moments. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Guess what we got, everybody? Willie Adames is on the show tomorrow. Brandon Rush is on the show tomorrow. Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.